Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. I said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Saturday. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Roan, and a crew coming to you live. We got Brother Jordan, Willie Lynch, Quanson, but we got Brother Pop in the house. And today's theme is Juice for Thought. Come on in, brothers and sisters. Tell somebody. Oh, yeah. Better love. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment for the African-American community. And the key is there is no greater love. No better love. There is no better love than for self and kind brothers and sisters. Welcome to African-American Empowerment Saturday. Again, it's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment for you know who. You know why? Because we need it. And we love ourselves, right? The game is changing. It's going to be, though, those of us who are aware, those of us who are awake, those of us who are drowsy, but those of us who are willing to do the work, right? It's hard work. It is, right? The condition that we've been placed in is hard work, straight up, right? If we're going to be real with each other, we got to understand that this work of resurrecting ourselves is hard work. We got to find ourselves in the condition that we're in and then start to do the resurrection for a better community, better families, right? Organized, mechanized, and ready to go, right? We're in a society that really doesn't promote us, right? Doesn't develop us, but that's okay. It really is. It's okay because if we do the work, listen, brothers and sisters, if we do the work of working on ourselves, what are you talking about, Marvin? I'm talking about actually applying yourself to your life and doing that critical work of self-examination, right? Like Brother Stan says, you don't have to get in to fit in, but you have to work on being the best that you can be. And wherever you are, that has to be a reflection of you, that when people see you, they see something special. When you see yourself in the mirror, you see something special. Now, let's get on to the tenets of the NAAEA. It's the African American Empowerment Association, and the pillars and the tenets of the African American Empowerment Association is peace. We all need it. I mean, really think about it. We all need it. So what are you talking about, Marv? Talking about politics, right? Spelling it out. Politics, a political agenda. I say it every week. I mean, y'all get it one day. We have to have political agendas that really work toward our best interests. We do, particularly in this country. We're going to have to strategize to create political agendas that work for us and our communities and our children and our families, right? So we can prepare the next generation to survive, right? But not only to survive, but then to strive, right? To get better, right? Incrementally. How do we do that? We have to create institutions that define our own reality. How do we do that? Economics. We need an economic platform and economic development strategy. You cannot build institutions. You can't even pay your bills without money. You can't even feed yourself without money. So money is a critical component in capitalism. We have to understand how capitalism works, and you can't keep giving your money away for stuff. You have to become a producer. Right? Produce, 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 create, create, create. That's what we have to do now. Now on to the A, athletics, health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition, mental health, physical health, emotional health, spiritual health. You have to take care of yourself. You're going to have to push away from the table. Sorry. I know you're mad. Right? Why you keep saying that? Because you need to take care of your temple. You need to take care of your body. You need to go for walks. You need to push away. Stop eating all the salty processed food and all the sugars and all the snacks and all the treats. It don't work for you, right? We are, again, and I say it all the time, we are leading the lead, the world in health disparities, and we're going to have to change our diet and our lifestyle so we can survive, so we can be around for the next generation. And then to see relevant cultural programs like this one and many more to help enhance us, right? We have to have pride in ourselves now. Right, we have to be positive, peaceful, and productive and feel real good about ourselves. So we have to give our young people something to feel good about. We do. And that's going to be our work. And lastly is the E, a comprehensive education that really looks at all the components that will create a well-rounded human being, right, that can walk on this earth with dignity and pride and become a builder again of societies and affect communities that work for us. And now for the Stan Mackin moment, you just heard the Pillars of the Peace concept. Come on, get in, y'all.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just,
man,
I
we
just
got
love
this deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
All right, Brother Stan loves it, so you should love it too. The pillars of the NAAEA is really about helping us help ourselves, right? Come on board, join us, www.naaea.weebly.com. Go out there, check it out. Right, we're improving, we're getting better every day. And now for my favorite segment, y'all know, it's the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment with my brother George. Brother George, come on in, brother. Ow. Oh, yeah. Rock it. Come on. Hey, wife. Hey, mom.
Bring it.
What's happening? Oh, yeah. Come on, brother George. Uh-huh. Rock with me. Uh-huh. I see you, brother Booker. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm rocking with this one today, y'all. Uh-huh. Brother George, how you feeling, brother?
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show. I saw you rocking.
Well, thank you. And, yes, I was. Well, brother,
what you got
today? Today's principle from the Guru Saba is collective work and responsibility to build and
like
keep
that.
Our community together, to make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems and solve them
like
together. Rujima, collective work and responsibility. We are all, by nature or by choice, members of a number of different social groups, from our racial and sexual orientation to our family of birth to our church, workplace, or social group. Our membership benefits us and the group in many ways, and it also involves responsibility. For each of us to be responsible for ourselves as far as possible, the strength of a community is based on the strength of its membership. For all of us to be responsible to and nurture our various communities so that they in turn can nurture. I think that was outstanding. Today's Willie Lynch. Because this is Juneteenth weekend, I wanted to speak a little on Juneteenth to give some clarity to what it is. Some already know what it is, but I'm going to speak on it anyway to clarify for those who may not. Juneteenth is an important holiday amongst our people, and I mean African Americans. Because June 19, 1865, marked the date that would end slavery in the state of Texas, in order to understand the course of events that lead up to Juneteenth, the emancipation of the Africans that were enslaved in Texas on June 19, 1865, you need a short history of Texas to understand what happened. Texas won its independence from Mexico in 1836. And from 1836 to 1845, Texas was a country and flew the Lone Star flag. That's why they call it the Lone Star State, because at one time it was its own country. Moses decided it would have a slave economy, and it created the largest slave economy in North America. Once mounting pressure in 1845 from abolitionists on Texas to abolish slavery, Texas decided to join the United States and identified as a slave state, which would afford them support from the other slave states. Against the abolitionists forward to 1861, the Civil War and Texas succeeded as a Confederate state along with the others. And, you know, when all the states decided they were going to succeed the Union and start the Confederacy. In 1862, April 16th, Abraham Lincoln freed the enslaved Africans in Washington, D.C. This was the first of a series of emancipations or Emancipation Days. The second is January the 1st. 1863, which is the Emancipation Proclamation. That's the one that most people are the most familiar with and probably the most official because it was countrywide. And then there is the June 19, 1865, when General Gordon Granger went to Texas to bring Texas back into the Union, which gave jurisdiction to emancipate. A lot of what happened during the emancipations was until a state was defeated, those territories were defeated, then they couldn't impose emancipation because they had no jurisdiction. And so Texas was the last state to fall in the Confederacy so that General Granger, when he went down there, he imposed emancipation and told our brothers and sisters in Texas that they were free. Now, the idea that some say that they didn't know this, a lot of them already knew that the Emancipation Proclamation had taken place. But since Texas had not fell as a military force to the Union, then they didn't have no jurisdiction there. So as far as they were concerned, their black folks were still slaves. But I just wanted to run that, you know, back by, you know, our listening audience, because that is a very important date to us. But I think we need to know the whole picture. So Brother Marvin, I hope I, you know, fulfilled what you needed. And it's back to you, brother.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. Great job. You know, it's time for the empowerment question of the week. You talked about collective work. You talked about Juneteenth. Let's connect those today. Why and how do we need collective work in order to actually actualize our true freedom? Right, Juneteenth, we had three Emancipation Days, right? But we're still not free. How do we work collectively to get our actual freedom?
Well, one, and probably the most important one, we have to get over the fear of being who we are. And what I mean by that is that when someone, I don't care if it's the governor or president, whoever, makes it illegal for you to learn your history in their state, you got to just disregard that. Don't even pay no attention to that at all. Because until we stand up and say we are who we are, then we're still slaves because other people can dictate to us how things are going to be done, how things are going to be done by us. And until we stop allowing to be dictated to, then that's when our slavery will end. And I think a lot of the dictation brings about fears from our people, especially with what happened in the different Black Wall Street that were dispersed in the Americas. We had a black economy in this country, and it was just good for white people. But they got jealous and they destroyed them, and I think they shook us up so bad that now we're afraid, you know, we got a fear gene, and we're afraid to do anything positive for ourselves as a collective. And we have to get over them. And the way to get over that is to flood our young people with positive black information about our past, about our people, and about our heroes. And so that's my answer, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother George. It's very appropriate.
You're welcome.
I'm going to ask one question today. You always do a great job.
Go ahead.
We talked about Juneteenth. We talked about emancipation in Washington. We talked about the Emancipation Proclamation. And now all of that is in place. We've been here a while now. Here's the question. What are you doing with your freedom? I want you to really think about that. What are you doing with your freedom, and how are you teaching the next generation to be free? And I'm not just talking about free out of chains, but mentally, physically, emotionally, socially, culturally, and financially. We're going to have to work on understanding how important our freedom is. And so today, in an effort to do that, we're going to share the steps that you can take. Brother Pop is here. He's on the line. We're going to bring him in just a minute. Let's do some housekeeping real quick. 845-277-9250. The brother's going to be on the line talking to us, so I want some feedback. Slido.com, the number today is 122-4469. Slido.com, Slido.com. Go out there and make a few comments. It's live today. Again, it's Juneteenth, right? It's a celebration of our freedom after we were free, right? They still didn't let us go. They didn't even tell you, you're free. So they had to go make them make you be free. But now that you're free, what you doing with your freedom? And now, without further delay, I'm going to bring Brother Pop in. But you know how we do it on Empowerment Saturday, African American Empowerment Saturday. 365 days of this. Oh, yeah. Come on, Brother Pop.
Bring it. Bring it.
Oh, yeah. Right here. Come on, Brother Joseph. Anywhere, right here, Brother Pop, we here. How you doing, sir? Brother Pop. One more time. I gotta get the seats off. Take the seats off. Let them know it ain't a street ball. This don't be the only joint. Brother Pop, you there? All right, his line is open, y'all. Brother Pop, can you hear me?
Yes,
all right, the line just dropped for a minute, so. Yeah, his line just dropped. Hopefully he'll call back in. In the meantime, right, we got to keep the show going. That's how we do, right? When things happen, you got to be able to make adjustments, right? So as we continue to wait for him to get back in, let's talk about African-American empowerment since it's Juneteenth, right? And Dr. Bruce just texted me to say he's at a Juneteenth celebration. So if you got one in your city, right, go out there and celebrate. I'm here in Washington, D.C. today, and I just saw a Black Lives Matter march, right, down 14th Street here in D.C. So go out, right, and do something productive, right? If you don't march, call somebody, right? So you don't have to necessarily get out in the street, but you got to be active, right? And you got to be proactive, and you got to be able to get to a place where you begin to make a difference in your world, right? Not in everybody's world, just in your world. And that's important, right? As we continue to move forward, we're going to have to continue to work together to find ways, find solutions, but you got to be active in maintaining, right, your freedom, right? Freedom ain't free no more, right? They gave it to you. You didn't take it, right? But now you are in a platform and in a situation where you want to have to understand the systems in place and be effective at navigating them for generations. All right, let me see if I can get Brother Pop in here. And I'll be right back in just a minute.
What you get up, Uncle? You fine?
All right, Brother George.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
Brother Pop, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right, Brother George, can you hear Brother Pop?
Yes, I can.
All right, then we live. All right. Well, you know I got to do it again. Sorry, y'all. Y'all can be mad with me for those who don't like it, but you know what comes after that. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Brother Pop is in the house. Let's do it, y'all. Oh, yeah. We need you to bring it, brother.
Bring it.
We ain't going nowhere, Brother Pop. We're going to work through it. Welcome to the show, Brother Pop. How are you today? Brother Pop.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Working through. You know how that is. When you're doing something, you got to learn how to make the adjustments. And so we made it work. So you here, right? And
yes.
We welcome you. We're glad that you're here. You got a story to tell, right? And we have a series called Telling Our Own Stories, right? And you have a wonderful story. So I want you to introduce yourself to our audience. We got Brother George on deck. And just tell us, right? You said juice for thought, right? So give us the juice for thought and tell us about you.
I can't really tell you juice for thought because this was a thought in my mind to start this, and it came to fruition. And a little bit about myself, I'm from Richmond, Virginia. I was born and raised here. And the experience.
So you started becoming an entrepreneur at a very young age, right? So what drove you to get to this place that you're in now? So tell them about your business, right? Because he's an entrepreneur, right? And we took our students over there and had a wonderful time, got a great establishment. But tell us how you got started and where you are now. Brother Pop? I done lost him again, y'all. So I guess I got to do some more talking. Maybe he'll call back. Brother George, is this one of them days? All right.
Yeah.
So, sometimes it's like that, right? It's a live broadcast,
yeah.
Right? And sometimes you just got to make the adjustment. So we were talking to Brother Pop about entrepreneurship. And so that is one of the critical elements of the NAAEA, right? That is economic development and entrepreneurship, right? We have to start businesses and we have to produce. So in that vein, Brother George, we're doing Black Educational Prints, right? Which is our economic development and engagement. We got a beautiful T-shirt that we're putting out there now, right? Some of the students in Richmond are wearing them. We're going to put them on sale, right, so you can pick up one, put it on, so you can show people that our people have a great history. So, Brother George, while we segue in to see if we can get Brother Pop back, can you tell us about the Black Educational Print idea, because it's Brother George's idea, and what was the prototype for the first shirt that we're putting out?
Well, the idea came from a concept that Bruce talked about in his book, Recapturing the African Mind. And the concept is collective consciousness. And a collective consciousness is when we all are on the same page. We all are understanding, you know, our culture from the same perspective. And we're living by the same rules, which when we lost our culture, we didn't know the rules anymore. We didn't know the things that we needed to do. So when I looked at collective consciousness, I said, well, maybe we can have a series of used T-shirts to teach our people about our past. And so if you put some information on a T-shirt about the different names that we fall under as a group of people, that's the same exact people, then it could give a clear understanding of why the European and some of the other racial groups don't want the African American to actually know who we are, because we have accomplished so much, but we have lost our collective memory, many of us. Many of us are learning it over again. But I felt like with Black Educational Print, that we could educate our people little by little with little bits of information that's not common knowledge, and use that print as a way to raise funds to finance what it is that we're doing. Because whenever you're doing something that's effective in the community, the funding from the overall community is going to be cut off. You know, if you notice in your community, any program that really gets successful that was financed through the government, they're going to find a way to cut that funding off, like figure out some kind of way why it's not necessary, or we just don't have no more money for it or whatever, because it's working. And so that's the same thing with anything that we do. You have to think of your own resources. You got to come up with your own resources and your own funding. And so some people say, well, why don't the Black, you know, athletes and rappers find, they can't finance everybody, you know, and I see that many of them are financing different programs either through themselves or through other people, you know. But the Black Educational Print was a way that we feel like we can finance our future. So I hope that answers.
I think that's an excellent, excellent answer, right? And again, it's one of the pillars, right? It's economic development, right? And we have to put ourselves in a position that we can resource ourselves, right? We're the initial resource, right? You are the resource, right? When they brought bodies over here, the bodies is the resource. The body can produce. The body can create. And so they used our body to build an entire system, right? To build an entire nation. Right. When I look out the window at this great city, Washington, D.C., and the infrastructure, it is completely laid out well. Right. Who laid it out? Your ancestors. Who built the streets? Your ancestors. Who built the initial buildings? Your ancestors. You are the producers. But we have to learn how to produce for ourselves. So Black Educational Prints is one of our efforts to be able to produce something and continue to yield a harvest. It's just human nature, right? It's a part of the natural system that we must become producers. Now, not necessarily just producing children or offspring. That's one aspect of it. But we have to produce, right, in several ways. We have to begin to farm again, right? So we're going to have to do collaborations and cooperatives to go out and make sure that we got food for each other. And nothing wrong with that, right? So going back to the Black Educational Prince, Brother George created a prototype, right, that the students fell in love with, and they were asking for the T-shirt. Brother George had to go out to his car to actually get the T-shirts to the kids. So they're inspired by that. So Brother George, can you talk for a few minutes about, and hopefully we can get Brother Pop back in here, about that experience where you was doing or were doing the series with the students and you introduced the T-shirt and what happened?
Well, one, I was pleasantly surprised that students took a liking to something that I didn't know what their reaction was going to be. But their reaction really, to me, was overwhelming. You know, like and they were serious. I thought they were, sometimes people will patronize you, you know, by acting like they like something. Now, they really liked this T-shirt that I showed them, and they wanted it. And so I went out to the car, you know, and they all followed me out to my car. And I went in the trunk and gave them, you know, those that could fit the sizes that I had. You know, I gave it to them. And it wasn't long after that Brother Marvin got, you know, a pretty big order. And this was like our first initial order, you know, for about 25 or 30 shirts, you know, for 30 students. And so it's taken off. The concept is taken off. And hopefully it will continue to grow, you know, amongst our adults and amongst our younger children and other high schools.
So got to give a shout out to the students at the Armstrong Leadership Program who proudly wear their shirts, but also to Yvette Rajput, director of the Armstrong Leadership Program, for actually getting the T-shirts for the students, right? And they wear them proudly. Right?
Yep.
Each student got one. And we also got to give a shout out to Brother Courtney. He's a producer, right? He's back there producing the shirts for us and making sure that we got what we need. So we got a strong team that we're developing, and we're sharing the Black Educational Program. We're going to do it in a different way, but since it's happening this way, you're being introduced to it now. So we want you to order a shirt, right, your size. You can email me or you can text me, right, RoneMarvin@ymail.com, and just say, I want my Black Educational T-shirt, BEP, right? Is that right? Black Education Print, yes. Uh-huh. And all you got to do, Rone Marvin, R-O-A-N-E, Marvin, M-A-R-V-I-N, at Ymail, the letter Y, wordmail.com. Send us your size, and we're going to send you out a shirt, right? We're going to send you out a shirt, right? Now, the shirts are around $25 or so, right? But that's a small investment, right, for a great cause, because we can't do anything, again, with our resources. You can't do it. We need money, and we need money to do, not to buy stuff, right, like shoes and stuff for ourselves. We're building institutions, and every penny that, you know, actually Magdalena Walker started a bank with just pennies. Think about that. That's why I said, what are you doing with your freedom? If Magdalena Walker, a native of Richmond, Virginia, can start the first bank, the first Black female bank owner in the country, can start a bank with just pennies, what's wrong with us? What are we doing?
Yeah.
Think about it. That's why I say, what are we doing with our freedom, right? Because we're free to do anything, but we can't be free to do a whole lot of stuff we don't need to be doing because you're free. There's power in freedom, and we're going to have to exercise that power really well, right? Activate the power of productivity and creation, that we create positive things in our lives. And that's the only way that we can do it. right? So let's slide on over for a minute to Juneteenth, Brother George. I want to go back to that for a minute.
Yeah.
And still haven't got Brother Pop in, just in case y'all waiting for him. We're having technical difficulties. But here's the good thing, right? In life, and this is another example, things are going to go awry. It's how you handle it, right? Now, we could be over here shaking.
Right.
I don't know what to do. No, you handle it, right? You handle the situation, and you make it work. You make it happen,
well,
right? And I think this is a good – Go ahead, brother.
Well, what I wanted to say was with that it was interesting that you were in D.C. because, like I said, the first Emancipation Day was in Washington, D.C. And the purpose for that was that they wanted our people to join the military to help fight for our own freedom. And they felt as though that if they emancipated the black folks in D.C., that many of them knew about the Underground Railroad, and so they knew about our brothers and sisters on different plantations throughout the South. And so they really knew their way around already. And so it really helped the Union forces to be more effective when they first emancipated our people in Washington, D.C., you know, and I thought that was interesting that that's where you were at today.
That's true, right? So emancipation starts here, right in Washington, D.C., but it's emancipation with a cause, right? You got to think, and this is no disrespect, right? They only freed us so that we can help them stay free. So let's go back. And again, right, this is not negative, but it's the truth. In 1776, when they fought for their freedom from Great Britain, they wanted freedom. They wanted liberty or death, but they didn't free us. Okay, so think about
right.
1776 all the way up to 1865. They got their freedom in 1776. It has to be important, and that has to be passed down to our children. So we've been granted freedom. So look at what we're doing with it. When you think about what life is like, and it's economics too, right? But it's also education, because we've done this before. So Brother George, I'm going to ask you to step in for a minute again. And we talk about economic development because Brother George is our resident historian. So we've had opportunities to demonstrate that we could do economic development and economic growth around this country. So can you talk to our listeners for just a few minutes about those economic development activities and what happened to them in certain areas in the country?
From my research with the Black Wall Street, the Black Wall Street is the one that's probably the most well known. But there was black markets and black banking institutions, and black economic development was all over the country. But with the Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, it was located on Greenwood, Archer, and Pine. And just to borrow some information that Dr. Bridges told me many years ago, that Greenwood, Archer, and Pine is where the name of the Gap Band with Charlie Wilson came from. And he said in one of the songs that they produced in reference to that was, "You Dropped a Bomb on Me." And a lot of our people thought they were talking about a woman, you know, telling a man that I don't want you no more or something like that. But that wasn't what they were talking about. They were talking about the fact that the Klan had dropped a bomb on Tulsa, Oklahoma, on the north side where the Black Wall Street was located. And
the Black Wall Street was a very prosperous place, and it even was so successful that there were whites would come and borrow money from the banks and the lending institutions over on the north side. They would borrow money from them. So the banks and finance institutions were very successful. And the way that they actually came into the money to start the Black Wall Street idea and concept in the first place was through what you call the Sooners. You know, you see the football team in Oklahoma for the University of Oklahoma are called the Sooners. Now, those of us, you know, that got some years on us, we remember a lot of the cowboy movies. We call them westerns or cowboy movies. And you always seen the people in the covered wagons traveling across country. Well, really, that concept came from the Sooners, because once the United States military had conquered really the Native American nations, when they took their territory, they wanted to turn the United States into a transcontinental country. That means coast to coast, west coast to east coast. And so Oklahoma, what they would do is, as they would defeat the Native Americans and get their territory, they allowed for the citizens to go out and stake out land. And so, you know, when people in this country complain about Black folks asking for reparations, well, the whites that's here, a lot of them got their benefits from being Sooners and getting free land from the government. And they always keep that hush-hush. They don't want to talk about that. But at any rate, there were some Black people that found out about it. A lot of people found out about the land rush that was going to Oklahoma. And so our people went to Oklahoma. We went out there. We staked out our good land and all that. And they said, nah, you ain't getting that good land. We're giving that to some good white people. You can stake out some land, but it ain't going to be this. So our people went and staked out land wherever they could. And so they ended up with the rocky, kind of mountainous land. So they had to, in order to clear that land and make it workable, you know, to grow crops and build on and all that, they had to dislodge a lot of rocks and a lot of, you know, and really remake the landscape. In the process of remaking the landscape, they struck oil. And so when they struck oil, that was like they was rich, right? So they got another country, like over in Great Britain, to do business with them with the oil that they had struck. And so that gave them the financial foundation to really start the Black Wall Street. So it just didn't come out of nowhere. It was some blessing that came along with it. I'm not even going to call it luck, because God put that there after they were denied the good land that they had originally staked out. And sometimes, like, when you're looking at something, sometimes the ugliest land has the most beautiful things underneath of it. Because I know once Dr. Amos Wilson was talking about the land with diamonds and gold. And some of the roughest looking land is where the diamonds are underneath of it. And so that's what happened with, you know, the oil rush. And so once that happened, many of our people at that time were going off to different colleges. They were starting some black HBCUs at the time, and they were learning to be businessmen and everything. And so they put all those skills together, you know, collective work and responsibility. Mm-hmm. And they put those tools together to create the different financial markets that we had throughout this country. And so they got jealous. The whites got jealous of us because we were succeeding. Once again, you know, the black man had fell and weren't even completely woke yet, still was creating and succeeding, you know, in a world, you know, that had destroyed us for the most part. And we just coming back to life. We still are. But that's, I know this ain't my show, brother, so, you know, back to you.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. And so you're right, right? As much as we have endured in this country, which is true, right? It was something that you said that stuck in my mind is the roughest places, right, sometimes have the best days.
Yep.
And many of us have grew up in rough communities and rough families, and we're really the greatest things, right? Because that's that pressure that you got to go into. That's how you produce a diamond, right? And as we continue to think through and talk through Juneteenth, for example, what our freedom really means, and now it's going to be slightly commercialized, but there are some people who are out at Juneteenth activities, which is good. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But outside of the celebration of a holiday, how are we going to live that freedom? Right? So again, the question becomes, African American Empowerment, 365 Days of Motivation and Personal Empowerment, just for you, 845-277-9250. The question is, how do we use our freedom? How do we exercise our freedom? And do we really take our freedom seriously? Now, here's the thing. We're in what they consider to be the greatest country in the world. We have an opportunity if we use our resources, right? We use our time, our talents, and our gifts, like the brother said earlier, collective work and responsibility. We have to work together. All other cultures and all other countries do it really well. And now it's time for us to take that next step. So we're talking about Juneteenth, right? We're talking about how we can develop economically, right? How we begin to teach, train, and develop our young people for economic development, right? How are we going to take that next step in terms of our freedom, right, from actually being workers to being employers, developers, producers? We have to become really good at producing resources that help us to get resources that we can resource our communities. So we talked about Black Educational Prints. I want you to figure out how you can get one and put it on. Now, the next thing is, as we continue to move forward, there are some things that we're going to have to think about. So Juneteenth is a celebration of our freedom. Kwanzaa, we talk about it every week, right? Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa, right? Why is Kwanzaa important, Brother George, in this scenario of these we're using to restructure ourselves, recondition ourselves, and resurrect ourselves?
Well, you really have to give credit to Dr. Malana Karenga, you know, some known as Malana Ron Karenga. And Malana Karenga was a cultural activist. And he went on a campaign because he also put together the Introduction to Black Studies, which is a wealth of information about our people going back to Egypt all the way up to today, because he wrote the book like back in the 70s. But it was up to that point. And he talks about all kinds of things in that book, all kinds of information that you can get from Introduction to Black Studies. And so he created the holiday of Kwanzaa, and he went back to the continent and used the basis, the foundation that he built it on was different concepts that came from the continent in the first place. And so he figured that if he created that holiday and we started doing the things that the holiday actually dictates about, you know, making gifts for each other by our own hands. Really, that's the way it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be you go buy something. You're actually supposed to make it yourself. And he felt like that if we started doing that, that at some point we would wake up and say, hey, we can manufacture this right here. You know, I built a mini house for my for one of my people, right? One of my children or something. And when I looked at that house, I hadn't seen no house that looked like that at all, but it was a beautiful home. Hey, we can use this model to make it bigger. And now, you know, we can create our own houses. We can create our own community and look different than everybody else and have, you know, like an outstanding look to it. So he felt like that the creativity that was in our people would work its way out as part of the principles of Kwanzaa. And then, you know, the behavioral aspects, like of unity, I mean, Brother Booker talks about that all the time, you know, the fact that we need to unify as a people, you know, and that's a foundational nation of Islam concept that I strongly believe in, you know. And Maulana Karanga, I think I might call him a cultural nationalist instead of the term I used earlier, because he wanted to do things that also created nationhood. Because he wrote another book, and it's called the I can't think of the name of his other book, but it was based on a lot of the teachings from cultural Africa, from ancient Egypt, from the hieroglyphic or the Medu Neter. And he was just he's still alive, you know. And he's just an amazing brother that did a great deal of work to create that cultural holiday. And he didn't make it to rival Christmas. He made it for the purpose of reminding us, connecting us back to what we used to once do, which we had. The calendar year actually was 360 days with 30 days in each calendar month. And the remaining 5 days for the celebration of the harvest. And so Kwanzaa is in the last 7 days of the month, of the year, and it's like a festival of the harvest. It's based on, you know, you see the ear of corn there, the different fruits that you put there. And he structured that on a lot of different African cultural concepts to link us back to how we once used to think in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that as a group of people that will swing back around and start taking advantage of some of the things that we really didn't understand as a people that is naturally us, because we don't know what is naturally us anymore. You know, by being destroyed in the way that we were,
We don't know who we are as a people anymore. So Marlana Karanga, you know, put that together. And if we use those principles and the different concepts of of being Groove Established, I think that we'll be very successful, bro.
Thank you, Brother George. It's African American Empowerment Saturday. Again, it's African American Empowerment. Today we're talking about really Juneteenth, our freedom, what we need to do economically, the things that we need to do collectively. We can celebrate a holiday, but how are we celebrating life? And that is in what we produce with our actions and our activities and our words in our communities, right? And how do we, like, relight the candle or reignite the flame, right, that burns within all of us for success, right? We are a mighty people. No one other group has gone through what we've gone through for as long as we've gone through it and still here. Now we got to resurrect. We got to reproduce. We got to recommit. We got to reexamine. And we got to do the work of working on ourselves. So the question today, the empowerment question I want you to ponder is, what am I doing with my freedom? Right? Brother George, we're getting close to 3 o'clock, so we're going to go to the line. So the question is, right, if you're on the line today, call in 845-277-9250 or go to Slido, right? We just want to hear from you. It's Juneteenth, right, weekend, and the holiday is going to be on Monday. But what are we doing? What are you doing, or what do you suggest that we do with our freedom, right? We want to get a little talk back today. Brother Pop, we lost him, right? But hopefully that line will correct itself at some point and we can bring him back in. But today, the way things are, that it is, we're going to talk about freedom, right? And we're going to talk about the tools, right? What are the tools and the principles that we need to right the ship and resurrect ourselves? So before we go to the lines, let's go over to Slido, Brother George, and you and I can take these questions together. First one is, oh, thank you for sharing on Juneteenth. All right, Brother George, you're teaching something out there. They're learning, right? Here's the first question. In what ways would you suggest that we begin to develop economically? What do you think, Brother George?
Well, I think that if you ever sit down and talk with our people, you know, I really don't I don't sit around and say that I fellowship talking with women. So I don't know how our women react when they come up with an idea. But I do know that we could sit around with a group of brothers, and man, you'll hear some amazing ideas that we need to put into effect. And then we'll talk about it, and we'll talk about it, and then we'll leave, and we're supposed to meet on it and make something happen. And next thing you know, nothing. One of the things that we have to learn to do is to stop letting other people steal our ideas and put our own ideas actually into effect. Put the energy, the money, and the planning behind our ideas to bring them into fruition. It's no reason why we can't do that, because we were the first to do it. And if you need to be educated as to who you are as a person in the world, then you need to simply start reading and start learning your history so that you could build a foundation in your mind that makes you feel secure that you actually accomplished these things, that your blood of your blood and your bone of your bone actually accomplished these things that we talk about a lot, mostly during what they call Black History Month. And if you need to, you know, find those things out, go online and look at YouTube videos or some of our scholars talk about these different things, then you need to do that. But you need to build your confidence up so that you could build the trust factor up, so that you can work with people that you actually trust. And then you don't mind putting your money out there because you know that they're not going to be BSing around. But we have to get over that fear of investing with each other and putting real sweat equity into what we do. And so that's my response, brother.
Great response. It's true, right? We had great ideas, but I think we got execution issues, right, that we can work through, though, right? We can have a conversation about developing something all day, and you can keep on talking about it, keep on talking about it, but you got to get to the execution phase, and that means to just do. And we have to do a better job at doing the things that we need to do, not the things that we just want to do, right? Like the game's going to come on, right? We're going to watch the games if we're interested in that. But how about watching your income grow, right, where you can then produce for your children, for your grandchildren, for the kids down the street, are the ways in which we have to begin to think now, right, as we move forward. The idea is to be able to continue to develop ourselves as a community. Again, it's African-American Empowerment. It's Juneteenth weekend. Right? How are you celebrating your freedom? So let's go to the lines real quick, Brother George. Let's go over to 5416. 5416. Welcome to the show. How are you today, sir?
I'm fine. I think we have to continue to work together and support one another. Oftentimes we have people, when they have a good idea, they need support. And we fail to support them because we believe they're going to get credit for something that we did, that we've done. And we want credit. I think we have people who, we have brilliant people, have brilliant ideas, and they just need support. And that comes in various ways, financial support, physical support, what have you. We need to just continue to come together. We have not. We kind of got away from that, to be quite frank, in my opinion. I think we need to gather strength to come together under, I hate to say, one umbrella, because there's so many things that we could do. But the support mechanism there to support each other, I think, is the best thing. That when we have finance, people at the finance, and if not, we need to set up an organization for these ideas that come back that will not just benefit one person, that will benefit all of us as a group. But that can be done, and that can be done properly, that we all come together at the same table and share ideas and say this is for the benefit of all as opposed to the benefit of a few.
I think that's a good idea, brother. Let me ask you a quick question. How do you think we got off course? What happened in your lifetime that you can see to say these are some of the things that happened to get us off course?
And my thought is we got into a lot of razzmatazz, the gold, the silver, you know, all of that, and the bling bling. And it ain't about all the bling bling. The bling bling is fine, but the bling bling without knowledge is just a matter of making money for somebody else, and they take it as soon as you get it in one hand, it goes up the other way. You know, we need to be able to handle our own finances so that we can be in a position that we can be a large, have support each other financially. There's a lot of ideas that die because of lack of financial support, and also because of that basic crabs in a barrel routine. And oh, well, you can't, I can't, then I'm gonna pull you down. You know, our mindset, all of that. We are moving forward, but the ideas on how to move forward need to be re-emphasize, and we need to come together. I think we're more separated now than we've been before, because if you ain't got nothing, then I don't want to be around you. It's a matter of us all coming together and doing it together.
True. All right. Thank you so much, brother. Appreciate you calling in and your comments. celebrating Juneteenth weekend, it's African American Empowerment 365 days. All right, we're talking about what are you doing with your freedom, right? And as we continue to think about that, right, we have to figure out, and Brother George said it, and Dr. Bruce coined it, we have to have a collective consciousness, right? We got to start thinking alike. We don't have to all act alike. We don't have to dress alike. We don't have to look alike. But we have to think alike, right? That those objectives that we have will be able to lead us in a certain direction, no matter what city you're in or no matter what state that you're in. We have to have agendas that effectively work for us. And the only way that we're going to do that is to continue to work together and improve ourselves. This is one additional point to that that Brother John made. We need good leadership, right? We need leaders, right? Not one single messiah. We need leaders. We need messiahs, plural, right? And we need them in every city, in every state, in every town, all around the country. Leaders just popping up everywhere. And because you can have good leadership, the good leadership can develop good followership. Country Brother Stan, I always talk about good followership requires good leadership, and good leadership requires good followership. But we're going to have to, like Brother John said, we're going to have to stop pulling each other down and work toward getting to a place where we work collectively. What you think, Brother George?
I think that that's a great idea, and that we need to, continue to work towards working with the groups that we have formed and continue to think of ideas, put those ideas into effect. No matter how small it starts out, start something, start somewhere, and then it will build. You know, when the minds of our people, as the minds of our people change to a different mindset, then the things that we're trying to accomplish will grow along with our knowledge. It'll grow with us as a people as we grow. You know, I once heard a brother break down human development, human group development. And he said that what happened to the African people that became slaves in this country, which is us, is that we were reduced to a infantile state as a people through the enslavement process. And so when you function as an infant, then you have to grow from that state into a state of maturity. Now, you got to understand, they call us the mothers and fathers of civilization. So that is a mature position in the world. And so we went from a mature and an independent position to an immature, dependent position. And so what we have to do now is, because to me, we're basically at the, like, teenage state, where we're not, like, completely reliant on other groups, but we still kind of keep lingering around. You know how teenagers do. They don't want to get out there yet because of that fear of failure. And I think that that's where we're at as a people. And so we have to continue to mature, and I think that we're doing as good a job as can be expected with that. And through that, you know, we will accomplish what we need to accomplish. So I hope that answers
that's
your
so
question.
True, Brother George. Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the analogy you gave in terms of alluding to our adolescent state is exactly right. Well, we've come a long way, right? But again, the question is, what are you doing with your freedom, right? And we just can't become consumers, right, buying up everything, making other people rich, and then stealing from each other. I'll say that again. Buying other stuff from other people, making them rich, and then robbing and stealing from each other, right? There's money even in our poorest communities. But when you know what to do with it, and you know how to execute financially, then you have it, right? And that is the teaching and the training and the development that we need on the ground in our communities. Every family dollar in our community is making millions of dollars a year, right? In poor communities. Yep. Those corner stores are making millions of dollars a year in impoverished communities. So there's money there. But they're siphoning the money. I mean, but they're doing capitalism, right? I'm not saying become a capitalist. I'm not saying that, but you got to understand how the system works is what I'm saying. All right, so let's go back over to Slido real quick, Brother George, and we'll take this last slide, and then we'll go back to the lines. How do we get back on track with developing Black Wall Streets and other thriving communities? Well, that's a good question. What you think, Brother George? How do we get back on track?
Well, I'm not going to tell you that it's going to be easy because we've got a lot of other obstacles that we have to get past that happen. But once that happens, one problem solved a lot of times solves three or four problems at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you asked me how do we get back to that, but I want to, for a second, just take time to show how what kind of effect it can have on our community. Once you begin to create business enterprise, then you create a financial pocket of money that you can do what you choose to do with. Once we can invest more money into our children's education and our children's activities, their activities as they're growing up, we give them something to do, and we give them what we want them to be doing. Because a lot of the opportunities that our children get is in sport and play. And so they learn how to be great athletes. And so that's what our people aspire to be. But see, we need institutions that have our children interested in chemistry, in oceanography, in biology, in lawmaking, in law itself, in engineering. We need our young people to be thinking along those lines so that they get back to their creative mind. And once these things happen, you'll find that the population of our young people that's willing to take each other's lives will drastically reduce. And so once that happens gradually, we'll work our way back to the financial juggernaut that we have the capability of being. So that's my response, brother.
I like that, brother. Right? Great doctors, we need them. Great scientists, we need them.
Right.
Great entrepreneurs, we need them. But how about great people, great human beings, right? Great humanitarians, right? We need those as well, right? But we need to begin to build people again. I mean, human beings, right? Who care, who are nurturing, who love, who are considerate, but who are willing to stand up for themselves. And I leave that piece out. All right, let's go back to the lines.
Yeah.
Let's go to 5347. 5347, you're live. You're up next. You're on Empowerment Saturday. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing, brother? How you been?
Hey, Brother Reg.
Good, brother.
How are you?
How you doing?
I'm doing okay, man. A little tired, but I'm still here, brothers. It's just good to be able to join you guys again. Been a minute there, yeah, but I've just been busy working. But I'd like to say everything that you brothers are discussing this evening has been point on, and there's nothing else I have to say about that except that from the work that I've been doing over here, I had a 3.5-hour meeting with the four major groups in my community yesterday, And all I would have to add to what you guys have been saying is that we have to get on one accord in the work that's being done. Everybody that's talking about, you know, the things that they brought to the table is spot on. Nothing wrong or off point with what they're saying, but you just have to get your agendas, you know, people working together on it. You know, just bringing it together, because that was what I had to bring to the table yesterday. As I said, a 3.5-hour meeting, just getting each organization on the same agenda, working together so they can understand how each other plays that role in that one point to that North Star. So I won't make a long story out of it, but just that one point there, everybody getting on the same page. You got too many people working, going different directions, call this stuff doing the same thing. Let's get together, head at the same direction, but be together. That's strength. Okay, brothers? But glad to see you guys again. And one of the main topics was you guys getting down here with us and having that podcast that we talked about. Love y'all, brothers, man. Hang in there.
All right. Before you go, Brother Ray, right? Thank you, Brother Reg. But before you go, right, I want you to give us a response. I know you touched on it. What are you doing with your freedom? And what should our people be doing with their freedom?
Being sincerely in touch with where we are, who we are, and what it is that we really need to be doing. I was listening to a lecture, a sermon that Brother Minister Farrakhan was talking about. Blessed are they who have discovered their purpose in life and are doing it. Brothers, all this other material things that this other brother that was talking about out here, getting off track with it, is for naught. We need to be sincerely involved in the substance, man. What my mother taught me coming up, it's about life is about substance. So that's what we need to be doing, dealing with the political aspect, infrastructure, social structure, and all of that. That's what we need to be doing. And there's people in the community, like I heard a brother saying, that were doing it. And there are resources out there that are available too. But we need to be on point, on an agenda, and working together on it. That's what we need to be doing, brother. Like what you're doing. Communication is number one.
True. Thank you, Brother Reg. We appreciate you. Keep the work going, right? We see what you're doing with your freedom, and we hope to see you soon. Thank you for calling in.
Okay. Very soon, brother. Very soon.
Very soon. Man, I like Brother Reg, Brother George. My brother's always doing something. He's building down there. Keep doing the work.
Yeah.
So, again, it's the same theme, right? And we know, right? We could get 10 of us in a room and all of us going to be, you know, there was this thing in the Bible about the Tower of Babel, right, where everybody got divided and had a different language. I think we have a divided mindset, and the more that we can coalesce and come together, the stronger we will be. Right? We can all have differences. We don't have to think the same. We just got to have the same agendas. And I'll tell you this, right here in Washington, D.C., right, they have multiple agendas. But when it comes to staying on the same page, they're together. They have differences in philosophy. They have a difference in parties. They have party lines. Time to come together. They're coming together. And they gonna stay together. That's the truth. Think about it. They fuss and fight all the time, but they ain't gonna separate when it comes to making sure they stay together. That's the truth. All right, let's go to the lines again. 0946. You're in. You're up next. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Good afternoon, Stanley. It's good to be here today. Someone asked the question about the Black Wall Street. And I believe we have a Black Wall Street. We're just doing what we want to do with it. And as far as unity is concerned, this is a tough pill for our community. Everybody on this line is old. And the bottom line is we cannot put new wine into old skin. And no matter how much we think we know, if we don't have the ability to influence the people that we want to influence, then it's a leadership problem. Because he that is leading and no one is following is only taking a walk. And so at the end of the day, old school, we may know what needs to be done, but we may not be ready to accept that we are not the leaders of this generation. And it is time for the old people to step aside and let the new generation do what they do. Andrew Young, Matt Kingwater, Jerry, all these people were young people. Matt Kingwater was young. Andrew Young was one. What's the other guy? Jesse Jackson was young. Martin Luther King Jr. was young. It's time for the young people to stand up, and we need to step aside. They want our leadership. They want our encouragement, but they have a different way. And here's the blessing. They can talk about stuff that when we talk about it, we get triggered. They don't know what it is to sit on the back of the bus. They don't know what it is to drink from a colored fountain. They don't know what it is to be called the N-word in the middle of a store. So this generation has some grace that where we may get triggered on things, they won't get triggered. And that's the blessing that we've been able to pioneer that way for them. And I'll end with this. Sometimes as a pioneer, you never walk the road that you create. And as pioneers in this community, we are walking on the road that our ancestors, our elders created for us. And as elders now, we are creating a path, or should be, for the young people today. So I want to encourage us, if all this line is going to be is a bunch of old people, and I'm not saying that negatively because I'm going to be 60 years old, if we do not bring in the fresh blood and the fire, then we're not going to make a difference, even if we have the knowledge and know what's wrong. We don't have the ability to change it. We're too cautious. We got too much to lose. We got mortgages to pay. We got children to send into college. You need young people that don't have anything to lose that's willing to put it on the line. So that's all I want to say. I thank you, family, for letting me give my comment. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sister. All right. The sister said we need to get out the way. I say, and this is my firm belief, is that leadership, there has to be a transition, right? Teach, train, and develop. You prepare your young people to be ready for leadership, right? And I think, again, we got a long road to go, but we can do it together. All right, let's go on over to 4953. You got your hand up. 4953, what you got for me? Welcome to the show.
Hey, you know, you made a good point about teaching. The problem with your young people today, they're not educated. You got this large spans of young people that can't do math at grade level, and when they're in high school, they can't read, have not had civics. They don't know the founding documents of the country in order to utilize the politics. That there's a serious problem, especially when it comes down to math and reading. Math and business, reading in general everyday life. So what the lady said was correct, but the names that she mentioned, I never would have picked those people to lead for me. But, you know, we come from different backgrounds. But anyway, that's what I say. Young people aren't being educated, and that there's a major problem. Not only, you ask about the inequities in paying that. Well, if you got an overrepresentative of blacks in college that's taking low paying and low salary and low wage degrees, then that's going to show when they come out to go to work and earn a living and try to raise a family. Anyway, you don't have much time. I don't want to take up no more. Thank you.
All right. Well, let me ask you this before you go. Right, you said you wouldn't pick one of those people. What should we be doing with our freedom right now?
Well, you should be trying to make life better and putting things in place for your young people coming up. You always want your young to do better than you. There's resources that's not being utilized, and there's innovation that's not being developed in order to make that happen. Structures exist, and there's resources out there that's free, but they're not being utilized.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thanks for calling. Thank you for listening. So when we think about the things that we need to do, right, there are a lot of pieces that need to be put in place. It's kind of like a 1,000-piece puzzle, right? One piece has to connect to another piece and another piece to another piece in order to fill the puzzle, right? And as we continue to work together, we're going to have to put those pieces in place. We're going to have to settle our differences in philosophy, right, and ideology, and come to an agreement. And Brother Booker always says this, sometimes we got to agree to disagree. But everybody can't be right and everybody can't be wrong. But we need an agenda, and that's just the truth. So as we wrap up for today, what are you doing with your freedom, right? This African-American empowerment, 365 days of helping us to think about the condition that we're in. And a part of our issue is the conditioning that we're in, right? So you have to ask yourself, what is my condition? Have I been conditioned to think and feel and believe a certain way? And are you thinking for yourself? And are your behaviors reflective of your thinking for yourself? So before we wrap up for today, we'll ask for closing comments. And thank you, Brother George, for standing in the gap today. Closing comments from you, brother.
Well, I want to thank you, man, for improvising so well, you know, because it was a great job, you know. And
thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome, brother. You helped like you always do, so I appreciate you. Now let's close out. Collective work and responsibility. That is what's in front of us, right? How so many people can make a difference if they just come together. There's one group of people that we know that have been mistreated in the world. There is one group of people that we know that have been marginalized and segregated and disrespected and have all of these different names. You name them. I won't name them. But you know what they've called us, and we begin to believe that. And when we look in the mirror, we see that image that they produced in us. But now, as we continue to elevate ourselves and evolve, can we see something new? Can we see something better? Can we become something different? And as the sister said, you can't put new wine in the old wine skins. But can you become better just the way you are, right? Just who you are, who you've been created to be. Because there's only one life for you. There's one opportunity. And I dare say, become the best that you can be. So that collective work is going to be important. What are you doing with your freedom is the theme for today. Do you know who you are? Are you living and abiding by principles that we all can agree to? Those principles are, can we develop great people, great human beings, and a next generation that is thriving to become better than the next, and the better, and the better, and the better. So as we continue to grow, can we get better? Can we apply ourselves mentally, physically, emotionally, socially, and culturally to become the best people that we can be? It's in us. It's in you. We just got to get it together. Until next week, brothers and sisters. Thank you, Brother George. Stay strong.
Thank you.
Be peaceful. Be positive. Be productive. And most importantly, be yourself. And that way, you can't go wrong if you know who you are. Peace and blessing, brothers and sisters. Thank you, Brother John. Thank you, Brother Booker. Thank you, Sister Benita. Thank you, Brother George, and all the callers. Brother Reg, love you. Peace and blessings.